Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm excited to see what God's been doing through Life Track, as Todd was just talking about, and I encourage you, if you haven't gotten started on that, put it down on your connection card there, and we'll remind you about it as we get towards January. And it really is, it's an exciting thing to watch, as I believe it's going to be a helpful way for those of us who have been around for a long time to get just reconnected to what God's doing. My best friend is calling me. All right. I don't think I've had that happen in a very long time. This morning I'm excited about our opportunity to hear someone different speak than we normally have. I just got to wrap up our series called Finding Happiness, and was just thankful to hear some great testimonies and excited about our next series. But in between series, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the Lord's really been stirring my heart for us as a church in ways that we are, how do we have this environment for the next generation to really rise up, and how are we investing in the next generation? And so the Lord was talking to me about that. Excuse me. And so, how am I making sure to invest in the next generation? And I began to think, I better start by modeling that. And so I've asked Drew, our worship leader. You just got to hear him sing, and he also is our youth pastor and invests just incredibly in the lives of our students. And I asked him to come and share a word with us this morning. And I believe that God's given him something that's going to be very, very powerful and important for each of us to hear. And so I want to ask if you would welcome with me Drew as he comes to speak.
I feel better holding a microphone than having it hang off my head. Maybe one day I'll graduate and be the fancy, schmancy, invisible microphone thing. But for now, I'm going to hang on to this. Is that okay? Is that all right? It's not too awkward? All right. My name is Drew. I have been here at New Life since February 1st. My wife and I moved from North Carolina. Originally, we're from New England. So if you want to hear that story, we'll share that another time. But we moved from North Carolina up here into Maryland, and it has been fantastic. It has been one of the best decisions the Lord has ever placed before us that we took ever. This morning I'm talking, and I have this problem where I either talk way too much or I don't talk enough. So today I'm hoping to swing and knock a home run and kind of get somewhere in the middle between far too much and not enough. But when I asked Pastor Abe what he'd like me to talk on, he suggested something along the lines of preparing our hearts for the season that we're going into Christmas and going into learning about Jesus. And I felt like that was like asking the busboy to memorize a 6-course meal an hour before he goes out on the floor to waiter for the first time. And I was, oh, that's really, okay. I will prepare our hearts for the Lord to come. But the Lord is good, amen? He is faithful. And as I was praying, as I was working through stuff, he really started challenging me at a personal level, which was daunting at first because I was expecting, hey, I need something for others, not myself, if you could give me something for that. And what he started challenging me with was not just being thankful, because we just got through Thanksgiving where we were thankful for probably Tums and a really comfortable couch to lay on after eating far too much food. But he challenged me not just to be thankful, but to use every opportunity that I have this year, from after Thanksgiving on through to the new year, to use the opportunities I have to express the love of Jesus through ordinary interaction, with extravagant generosity. Through ordinary interaction with extravagant generosity. Because I think a lot of times, that's where, I know for myself personally, I miss the mark, is in the little things and in the just the ordinary stuff that goes by. We hear a lot about, you know, taking an offering to help children in Africa or to hit the salvation bucket with a loose change in your car, which they would probably strike rich with my car because I have like, I don't even know how many quarters are in my ashtray. You know what I mean, though? We hear all these things of, you know, Salvation Army helping out the poor, which is all amazing good things that should be taken note of. But it's in the ordinary. It's in the conversations we have with our families, with the cashiers, with the things that oftentimes we can have the most impact in showing the love of Jesus. You see, our actions and our words are some of the most powerful forces on the planet. Some of the most powerful forces on the planet. Because you see, our words, they carry power. Our words carry power. Has anyone ever heard of Harriet Beecher Stowe? Perhaps. I mean, I feel like every hand in the room should be up right now because this is Maryland. Harriet Beecher Stowe, and I'll explain why I think that. Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote this little book called Uncle Tom's Cabin, or Life Among the Lowly. Has anybody ever heard that song, that book? It was published in 1852, and in the first year it was published, it sold 300,000 copies in the United States, 1852, over a million in Europe. And this little book she wrote is credited by some to being one of the founding reasons of starting the Civil War. It was because she took the perspective of a slave and wrote, using her words, what life was like from their point of view. And that tricked a lot of things in people's minds as they read, over 300,000 people read it, or purchased it at least. Words carry power. And more often than not, when we think about how we were raised, we think about the things our parents had said to us. Am I right? A lot of the times, it's not necessarily just what our parents did or what our figures that were guiding us when we were kids did, but a lot of it comes to our mind is, what did they say? How did they tell us to do? And then beyond that, our actions are the reinforcement of what our words say. Our actions are the reinforcement of what our words say. Because our actions will build up or tear down the credibility of our voice. I mean, how confusing is it when they don't match up, right? You have, I mean, my dad would be, don't lie to your mother. Don't lie to your mother. And then 2 hours later at Thanksgiving dinner, honey, I have no idea where your pumpkin pie is. As he's eating it along, right? It's one of those, like, Dad, you just told me not to lie to Mom, but I definitely just saw you lie to Mom about the pumpkin pie. You ate all of it. Truthfully, it wasn't pumpkin pie at my house. It was oatmeal raisin cookies, which you either love it or hate it, I'm coming to find. But you just, our actions will reinforce what our words say. They build up or they tear down its credibility. But for myself, I find myself so quickly in these ordinary moments getting pulled into the attitudes and the mindsets of everyone else I see around me. That if people around me start becoming agitated or irritated, I find myself becoming agitated and irritated. That if people around me are being critical or judgmental of something, I find that wanting to rise up inside of me. You know what I'm saying? How you're when we get surrounded by these things, it starts to get inside of us a little bit. My wife and I went to Target recently. By recently, I mean Thursday night. I have never done a Black Friday shopping experience. I went once when I was a kid, and it was strictly to watch the crazies at the mall. So we planted a coffee shop, and it was hilarious. But I was one of the crazies this time. I have to say, Thanksgiving night is now Dark Thursday, and Black Friday needs to step up its game because this was an unreal experience. I did not realize shopping became a full contact sport after Thanksgiving. I I swear to you, I saw a woman strapping on elbow pads and knee pads in the electronics section, and I was concerned about what I was about to witness, because it was, what are you gearing up for with elbow pads and knee pads? I mean, skateboards are four aisles down on the left, and you're in electronics. Like, hello. There was a husband who was walking around with this giant Barbie in his cart, and when he finally found his wife, the words that came out of her mouth was, "We have all boys." And this is a life-size, like, 4.5 foot tall Barbie that says, you know, live-action role play on the thing, and he brings it to it like, "We have all boys." Like, what? This is an experience. It's crazy. And then how about, do you guys ever find the little coupon booklet that they hand out? Little Target Black Friday treasure map that they give you. You know what I'm saying? That has to be a employee's worst nightmare, because they know for the next 36 hours, all they're going to see is this booklet in their face. Do you still have this for this price? Do you still have this? My wife and I went to Black Friday because she indeed collected one of the Target Black Friday treasure maps. And she found her ex in the treasure map, let me tell you. And it was a smoking deal, if you're willing to wait there. She found this coupon that was upgrade a phone. How many of y'all got a smartphone? Upgrade a phone, get a gift card, $250 gift card Target. Every woman in the world loves Target, right? We needed to upgrade my phone. This was just a necessity now. So we go. We stand in line for 4 hours on Thursday night. I know. My feet hurt just as bad as you think they did. It was awful. But you know what? The phrase that I learned is, we met some really nice people there. The lady with elbow pads was actually really friendly. I mean, she was nice. I mean, she was just keeping them for herself. And then it turned out that, you know, their system was down, which, of course, hasn't happened in 14 years, right? How many of you heard that? This never happened before. I'm like, okay, you're just not ready for this. So we get on our list, and we get an appointment for tomorrow. We come in the next day. And so for the next day, for about 6 hours, we are fighting with the carrier and the process and getting this thing ready and having to then purchase the phone and then do this and do that. And it's like, this is not worth a $250 gift card. I quit. We need it. I don't think we need it. Family is in town. We can leave. No, we can't leave. Like, okay. I will sit here and just white-knuckle this counter because... so we sit there for 6 hours, and at the end of it, we get the phone, and we get the gift card. Praise God, right? I'm glad this is over. Yes, it was great, but it was awful all at the same time, because little did I know, Liz had this master plan. She had this master plan. And all in these, I think, I'm feeling very disappointed, because I feel like Liz is valuing this $250 gift card, which has now taken 8 hours plus for us to finally come across, over spending time with my family that's in town that we never see, right? So you can imagine this like, I feel like you're being a terrible wife right now, Liz. Like, what's going on? And it's just this irkingness, and I'm struggling to not show it to the lovely cash register, who is just very friendly. And it's like, okay, let's move on. And so we go out. We're outside the store. Liz is crying. I'm confused. I'm like, what is going on? Why are you so upset? And I just feel bad. It's taken 8 hours, and I was going to do this because then I was going to get this other gift for your birth, for not my birthday. My birthday is next month, for Christmas. And I'm like, oh, I mean, if I had known that, then I wouldn't have felt so awful in here. So now she's crying. I feel bad. She feels bad. Target just lost $250. We wasted 8.5 hours of our life. It's like, I'm never going to get that back again. So, moral of the story, we got what we needed to, but it still wasn't done then. We then had to spend an hour on the phone that night because, you know, these processes, it's a third party. They don't explain very well what's happening. Am I right? So then you go and you check your bill. Like, I mean, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me right now I need to go on the line and check my bill and, you know, all that mumbo-jumbo nonsense. Fix that. All this to say, my point is, miscommunications happen, right? It's in these little ordinary moments of trying to get a silly iPhone from a retail store, which I will never do again, that miscommunications happen. And you don't realize these things are happening until after the fact. when we're tired, when we're at the end of this rope that we're at, we start to see some personality come out, if you know what I mean. Some people's personalities start to come out. We're 3 hours deep into waiting in a line. You moved 8 feet. Everyone's tired and hungry. And the guy in front of you cannot seem to understand that there's 100 phones. You are number 104. No phone for you. You get the wait line. No matter, that was the question that bugged me the most. I'm going to have a real moment with y'all. If you are number 104 and there are 100 phones, it does not matter what does that mean for me? It means you don't get a phone. Like, I don't know does that today or like, you don't get, we don't have it. Like, wait for the truck. Come back 2 days later. That question was asked by every single person in front of us. And so by the time Liz and I got there, I was so tempted to go, and what does that mean for me? Because this poor girl has answered it 9, 10 times in a row before us. Well, it means you get put on the wait list. We'll call you. And like, I love this spiel. Can you just keep going? It's fantastic. It's well rehearsed at that point. When we're under stress, when we're under the shadow of this possible disappointment, our ability to remain joy-filled and compassionate can really begin to waver. It really can start to tear on you. And that steadfastness is really challenged in us. I know for myself, this time of year, I find myself fighting to not become the Scrooge and grow really long, hairy fingers and curly shoes and all that. Like, I fight being the Scrooge because I can't stand the commercialism that's become of Christmas. I mean, come on. It's gotten a little crazy. I love the idea of blessing others. I love the idea of gift giving. My wife is the best gift giver I've ever known. And I've never realized how expensive gifts were because I am not a gift giver. I will talk your ear off and tell you how fantastic you are all day long. But don't expect a pencil from me for your birthday because it's not in my wavelength. I just don't see that. And she's the opposite. She knows exactly what to get everybody for every little thing, and I'm blown away by the generosity and the ability that she has to see that. But the commercialization of it becomes this point of like, why are we doing this anymore? And this things become stressful. Because we're losing focus on what it is that we're actually here for. It's to show the love of Jesus to those who may not know him or those who need a refresher of what he's like. James 3, 2 through 5 says this. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And then Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. To me, these two verses just magnify the importance it is to keep a rein on what we allow to come out of our mouth in those moments when tensions are rising, when things are tough, when we might not get what we want because I'm number 105 and there are 104 phones. Like, oh, but what does that mean for me? You know what I'm saying? I need to be very attentive to what I choose to let come out of my mouth. To not just react to a situation. To not just let what my emotions want to do, to let that come out, but really stop. And go, okay, Lord, how is it that I need to react to this? To when family members, you see family over the holidays, right? Like I said, we just had my cousin and his girlfriend come down. Don't worry. They're on opposite ends of the houses at night. It's safe, I promise. We have a large house. It's fantastic. My cousin, we will call him Earl for safety of this story that I'm about to tell you. Earl, if you hear this, sorry, buddy. But so my cousin, he's probably one of my best friends on the planet. And as exciting and outgoing and loud and talkative I am, he is more so. And sometimes Earl is not attentive to his surroundings very much. He's a genius. I mean, he's one of the greatest artists I've ever seen, and he's an engineer. So he's not right brain or left brain. He's basically Leonardo da Vinci. And it's a wonderful concoction of human that he is. But sometimes he's not paying attention. And not 3 hours into being at our house hanging out with us, he's playing lacrosse with one of our dogs. With the stick and all that stuff in the house, and he's like, "All right, go fetch it." And he throws it at the ground. And normally that's okay because, you know, it hits a wall or something and it's not a problem, but not Earl. He throws it, it bounces off the ground, and I'm currently in the other room with his girlfriend trying to get her, you know, "This is where you're gonna put your stuff, this is your bathroom, yada yada." And I hear this sound behind me of glass breaking. And I'm in our little like apartment area of the house over there, and I hear this breaking of glass, and I'm like, "That's really weird. There's no glass in the laundry room to be broken. What was that? That was weird. I'm gonna go see what this is." And the first thing I see when he comes out is this white face, like, I could pay for that. I could pay for that." I'm like, "What did you do?" The window is just lacrosse ball through the window down. It's like 28 degrees outside, and the heat's just leaving the home. And I go, "Earl's here." Lacrosse ball through the window. So we spend the next 45 minutes taping it up and trying to make it so that's, you know, weather appropriate in some way. You just kind of, it's one of those moments you just kind of close the curtain and go, "You know what? We're going to forgive this. We're going to turn the other cheek. Hopefully not the other window, but we're going to turn the other cheek. You don't get to bounce ball in the house anymore." It's in those moments, right, where you have a family member who's just crazy. Right? I have another family member that we see every year who always has to be right. Does anybody have one of those? Like an Uncle Greg that always has to be right, and you're like, "I cannot stand talking to Uncle Greg because I have no idea what he's talking about, and B, he is sure that he's right about it." I don't even know. But to really be attentive to what we're saying in those moments and in those conversations, because it's in those moments and in those conversations that we could have the largest impact of showing the love of Jesus and not just talking about it. Not just being somebody who they know goes to church, who they know might read their Bible, who they know might do some praying here and there, or a lot of praying, but really someone who walks out what it is that Jesus did and shows love in those ways. One of the saddest, most impactful things I saw this weekend, standing in that Target line Friday morning, we showed up early for our appointment because we're good stewards of that, and I realize now that there's a master plan behind all of this. Oh, this is before the master plan. We showed up early just because I wanted to get this over with. That's what it was. Being honest, I was not happy to be there the next morning. We show up early. We're there on time for appointment, but a guy came in about 10 minutes into us getting the process worked through and saying, "Hey, I'm late. Can you fit me and my daughter in?" And we had no problem. You know, we're trying to pay attention. Like, "Okay, yeah, no, it's no big deal. We'll take a step back. You can figure the thing out." And this guy, I don't know his name. I couldn't tell you who he was. But the first thing out of his mouth when he sits down and Liz and I go around the corner is, "You guys sucked last night." To the cashier, who, I was there last night, she wasn't even working. She wasn't even in the building. But not a hello, not a, "Hey, good morning to you." It was that, "You guys sucked. And now I'm back here. I live 20 miles away, and you're going to make me try and get here to make this happen." Like, it's their fault that he wants a phone. Bro, you're the one who wants the phone. These are people that we're talking with. Whether it's someone you have no idea who they are, or it's your closest family member, or it's a cousin that is kind of a klutz but a genius. These are people. Everywhere we go, no matter how annoying or unorganized or rude or pushy or different from you, if they have an accent that's difficult to understand or they speak perfect English, these are people. If they know how to do their job or if they have no clue what they're doing, it's the first day on and they can't, you know, do 2 + 2 = 4 and I give you a 5, so you get, it doesn't matter. They're all people. They're all people who God loves. And those people are made in God's image, just like you are. just like I am, just like you are. We are made in the likeness of the creator of the universe. And as a reflection, we're to be a reflection of his grace and his mercy, bringing peace and hope to a very lost and dark world. And for some reason in our country this weekend, you see a lot of that lost and dark with elbow pads in the electronic section. Unnecessary. It's our job to be that grace and peace and mercy and bring the hope, to bring the joy. Not in a confrontational, I'm right, you're wrong way, but a living it out of, you know what, we're all people here. It's no problem to get put on a wait list. It'll be right. I have found that thankfulness and speaking out loud, reminding to myself, giving thanks to God for all the things that he's done in my life is one of the single best ways to combat a bad attitude or an offense and to take ground back from the enemy when the enemy is trying to put thoughts and then words and then actions towards other people in an ugly manner. There were lots of times at the Red Bullseye that I could have flipped a switch and just said, Liz, we're leaving. We're out. I'm tired. I haven't had breakfast. My coffee tastes awful. I'm done. We're gone. And it doesn't matter what you think or feel because I'm done. There was lots of times standing in line hearing, what does this mean for me, over and over again, that I could repeat to you the script that this lady is trying to tell you, that I could have just, hey, bro, stop. You don't get a phone. Back of the pack, okay? You lost your chance. I've taken a vote. It's a collective vote. You're last in line. Sorry. There's lots of moments when my cousin broke the window. There's a lot of reactions you can have to a broken window. Like, bro, not my house, number one. Two, why are you throwing a lacrosse ball in the house? Like, when did that become a smart move? Or thankfully, because it hadn't been Black Friday yet, probably, I was able to go, hey, you know what? It's no big deal. The curtains are up. You didn't even know there was a window there. You'd never been here before. It's all right. I got cardboard. Let's get some packing tape. We're going to seal this bad Larry up as best we can. I'll tell the maintenance, and whatever happens is going to happen. You know, it's not a big deal. It's going to be colder in this room, but that's fine. I have a blanket. It's great. Thankfulness. Thankfulness and reminding myself, this is what the Lord has done. This is who he is. This is why I'm here. And not losing sight, keeping it in front of me, keeping it right on my dashboard if I have to, the reason of what this season is that we're going into. Because you cannot bless and curse at the same time. You can't do it. You cannot genuinely wish someone well and tell them off in the same breath. It's impossible. I lived in North Carolina for 2 years. They have a phrase, bless your heart. I'm here to bless your heart for. This does not mean what you think it means at all. You can imagine my confusion when I found that people were not, in fact, wishing me well when I made them laugh. I was very confused for a good 6 months. I'm from New England. I thought they were supposed to be nice. Turns out they're just people. Bless my heart. I don't know what to... That's a whole nother story. You cannot bless and curse someone at the same time. One or the other is going to come out of your mouth. Because ultimately, it's coming from a position in your heart of you either are wishing them evil or you're wishing them a blessing. And most of the time, we get to choose what that reaction is. We get to choose. Whether it's good or bad, there's a moment inside of ourselves where we decide how we're going to respond to whatever circumstances that are in front of us. You will have a moment where you get to decide how you will respond to that situation. And my Bible says that I need to forgive 70 times 70,000, right? Like, not 70, 70 times, you know what I'm saying. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. You have that moment where you get to choose. The real question is, are you being attentive for it? Are we paying attention to it? Or are our minds so preoccupied with what we're trying to get done and what we're trying to see and what we're trying to get a phone for that we miss the opportunities right in front of us to just be people to other people who need to see Jesus? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. If you come from a family like mine, you have a lot of very strong, opinionated people. Anybody? I just want to see if I have friends in the room. Yes? Oh, yes. Everyone thinks they're right, or the way they communicate their opinion, it sounds like they think they're right. And I've had to learn that it's not my job to defend God in the Bible. It's not my job to do that. Jesus did that. Read the book. He takes care of it. It's not my job to try and prove something to them. That the Bible is real, the gospel is true. It is my job, however, to be a living example of a changed life. That's what my job is. I don't have to have all the facts. I don't have to have all the answers. It's my job to be a living example of a changed life by Christ and live that out in front of them. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my family is in ministry, so there are a lot of Jesus-like conversations that are good, but sometimes they're just unnecessary. Sometimes I feel like we try and be right more than we try and love. We try and prove our point more than we just try and find common ground with others. Jesus met people where they're at. And the only people he really stuffed information down their throats to were those who are overly righteous and religious, where he said, this is truth and you're missing it. So all the others, he was gentle and gracious and merciful and drawing. Are we drawing people to Jesus? Or are we trying to hand them pamphlets saying, you're wrong and this is what right is? I do more now to try and find common ground with others than I do try and prove a point or win an argument. Because some of the best advice I've been given in this new season of my life is people don't care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you got a pen, that's worth writing down and slap it on your wall, make a little sticker of it and put it up there, because that is so true. They don't care to know how much you know, whether right or wrong, until they know you care about them, about their life, about their family. And when you get past that point, then doors fly open for you. To close, hey, you know, I made it pretty far. A little early, but it's all right. To close, I'd like to challenge us with this. This year, from now until the new year, not just to Christmas, because it's not about getting to Christmas and then going, okay, 25 days is over. Woo, I did it. Like, this is a lifestyle thing, amen? We're trying to be different people. From now until the new year, that we would stay attentive to the words coming out of our mouth. And every time we see ourselves getting frustrated or offended or even selfish and maybe rude, that we just pump the brakes a little bit, that we would stop. That if we need to, we would give thanks to God and remind ourselves of his goodness and his grace. And that we would choose to respond instead of reacting to the situations and the circumstances around us. That we would choose to respond and act in ways that would reinforce the words coming out of our mouth. That if Jesus is the reason for the season, that our actions would show that, and it wouldn't just be out of our mouth. That we're not just saying that and then telling the cashier that he was awful. but that we would say that and then speak life to those people. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. We have so much to give. We're very blessed in America to have a lot of financial stuff, but it's not just about our money. We have so much to give of ourselves, to not withhold ourselves from others because of whatever fear and insecurity that it might be. But to give, like I said in the beginning, the Lord challenged me to ordinary interaction with extravagant generosity, extravagantly going out of my way to speak life to others, to be extravagant in the way that I love, to be extravagant in the way that I talk with people, that I'm attentive to people, that I treat others in the ordinary situations. Am I being extravagant and generous with who I am in those places? Not because I'm fantastic, because you can ask Liz. I have a lot going on right now. But the Lord is in me, right? And he's in you. And he wants us to be that living example of what a changed life is. Oftentimes, the most incredible thing we can do for someone else is giving a word of encouragement just when it's needed most. To go up to people and genuinely tell them the good and honorable things you see in them. So let me close and I'll pray. But let's be attentive to what we're doing. Let's be attentive to what we're saying. Let's show the love of Jesus through ordinary moments, conversations, and actions with that extravagant generosity. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, You are good. And God, I know even though so many times I've failed and so many times I've dropped the ball or missed it, God, you don't fail. And you have grace and forgiveness for me in those places where I so quickly try and take shame and the blame of missing out or hurting someone else, Lord, you have grace and forgiveness. God, I just ask that everyone in this room, that you would open our eyes and open our ears to what it is that we're saying. And more importantly, Lord, to the things that you're speaking to us in moments. God, that this holiday season, you would be so alive to us, so right in front of us and so real to us that we can't get around you. And those moments where you say, I need you to show this, that it would be just so in us to just show that love, that we'd be attentive to the ordinary, that we'd be quick to listen and slow to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Drew. Can we give Drew a hand? Thank you so much. As the ushers prepare to receive our giving and our connection cards this morning, Drew, I thank you so much for that word. I don't know about anyone else, but I know there were a couple of even recent things that were going through my mind, moments where I know, man, I missed the opportunity, or I spoke some things I shouldn't have, and yet I'm so thankful for God's grace, aren't you? That He gives us these moments, these reminders, these opportunities to really respond to His love. And I love that challenge that during this Christmas season, in fact, as you were saying that, I wrote down just, you know, what if even during this Christmas season where maybe some of us would be more prone to put so much energy into, whether it's the gift stuff or the parties or the decorating or whatever it is that, you know, again, those are all fine things, but what if we purpose to put a little more energy into our words, you know. I hear something that helps me sometimes. I found that sometimes I may think something about someone in my life and I don't say it, you know, because I'm not around them when I think about, man, I really appreciate this about them. But it's helpful for me to write those things down and, like, put a little reminder to go and make sure I speak it to them, or I even send them a note just saying it, because how many know those words of life can
be, I think, even more impactful than a great Christmas gift. Amen? And so so this morning, Lord, as we come to bring our offerings, again, Lord, we really offer our hearts, and we do just thank you for your grace and this opportunity during this Christmas season to focus on opportunities to be generous in every way, Lord, to be generous with our words first and foremost, that we would be a life-giving people with our attitudes and our thoughts and therefore in our words.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.